Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. Today, I'm riding solo again, but we got a part two of our last episode. If you didn't check out last episode, go check it out. But in short, it's about how do you help your teenager, your kid, could be preteen, teenager, but it's probably the information was more useful for teenage years. How do you help your kid if they are really jealous of a close friend of theirs? So today's episode, we're going to kind of reverse that. We're going to invert it. And instead, we're going to talk about if your child has a friend that is really jealous of them and it's causing problems in their relationship. Again, I said last time in the episode, I've never done an episode or any episodes on this in the past 7 years about this topic, but I've had plenty counseling conversations, plenty therapy conversations with teenagers that have confessed to me that they're bitter, they're resentful, they're mad at their best friend. And as I did a little bit more due diligence and started kind of piecing together what was going on in the relationship, I found out that there was a lot of jealousy, resentment had built because usually the best friend, at least according to my clients, the best friend was cocky, arrogant, but the best friend was better looking, more athletic, just got more attention from the peers. And every time the teenager that I was talking to would vent and talk about the best friend that way, I noticed that they're nitpicky. They're saying petty things, or they did this, they did that. But what it really came down to, it was good old fashioned envy, jealousy. And you know, my clients were really struggling with that. So today's episode, I'm just gonna give you guys a little insight and input, how to help your child if they have a close friend. It could be a best friend, but a really close friend they've spent lots of time with throughout their years, and they really care about them a lot, but this friend is always trying to throw salt on their game. Now, if you are not familiar with that terminology, I'm from the 90s, meaning I went to college in the 90s, and it was a popular terminology to throw salt on someone's game. Everyone here in Utah knows that. What do they do to suck up all the moisture from the snow? They pour salt on the streets and it sucks it up. So to put salt on someone's game is simply mean to suck up or dry up their charisma, their likability, and to make them less attractive. Now, in the years that I've had teenagers come to me or parents come to me and present this problem that they have a kid who has got a good friend or a best friend, and that best friend is jealous for different reasons. Usually it's for their looks and for some sort of talents, specifically athletic abilities. This is the advice that I give parents, because parents usually come to me and tell me first off that they tell their friend like, hey, you know, tell them to get over it. Especially if it's guys. I see a lot of times with teen boys, the parents will give the advice like, come on, like, just tell them to get over it. Or like, don't pay any attention, you know, don't mind it. But then it goes on and on. Now, I've had a lot of parents tell me that they felt like their child's friend, not only they're acting very petty, but it's the jealousy is pretty obvious. They pretend and act like they're not jealous. They pretend and act like their child has some serious issues. They're concerned about their child. They're worried about their child. And this is something that sounds kind of odd when a friend is going to a parent saying, you know, I'm really worried about your son because, you know, people are mad at him. You know, he's burning bridges and he's doing all these things. Come to find out, it's really just that one friend stirring up some drama and making some gossip, and just creating contention, in the friend group. So parents will come to me and say, oh, you know, how do I handle this situation, Dave? You know, I've been telling my son or telling my daughter to just ignore him. I've been telling them to just, you know, talk to their friend and say, hey man, we all good. And of course the friend, especially in situations with guys, but it can happen with girls too, especially with guys, like, oh, we're fine. Everything's cool. But yet the resentment, the backbiting, the, you know, talking trash behind their kid's back is still persistent. So what I want you guys to do is I want you to take this into consideration as a parent, that a long time ago, maybe for some of you, not too long ago, but if you have teenagers, it wasn't recently, long time ago, you were a teenager. And when you're a teenager, there's still many things that are the same from you growing up to how it is today with teenagers. Now, don't get me wrong, there's plenty of things that are completely different. It's obvious, like technology and stuff like that, but many things are quite the same. Teenagers are in that stage of their life as they're trying to belong to something, meaning they are looking for an identity. So for some teenagers, they're like, I'm a jock, I'm a football player, I'm a basketball player, I'm a wrestler, a softball player, volleyball player, soccer player, whatever it may be. So they're like, this is who I am. Like, this is what I am. Now, it's very important for teenagers in their developmental stage to have something to associate or attach themselves to. Now, in those groups, they're going to have other kids and other teenagers who are also under that label, who are also say, hey, I'm a skater, I'm emo, I'm this, I'm that, I'm a band geek. And by the way, I'm not calling kids band geeks. Kids in my high school, that's what I asked them. Oh, you're in band. Oh yeah, I'm a total band geek, right? So they've kind of adopted that and take some ownership and pride. And they took something that probably used to be an insult and like, ah, we're owning it, right? So my point being is that in every single one of these identities comes a social group. Now, with the clients that I've had that were talented, attractive, good looking, had a lot going for them. If you remember when you're a teenager, you're either going to have love and admiration for someone who is better looking than you and has greater talents than you, or you're going to compete with that person. Now, if it's someone in your own friend group, like let's say you're not a good basketball player, but your friend is like the star basketball player on the high school team. You might have admiration for your friend. You may like tell people, yeah, that's my best friend. You may go to the game, you may paint your face, have a sign. You may be your friend's athletic supporter. That's a little joke, you know, jockstrap, athletic supporter. Anyway, some of you guys got that joke. So in that case, there's probably not gonna be a lot of bitterness, like not gonna be a lot of resentment, because that kid that's a fan of basketball is just a supporter and they're not really in competition. But if your child is in competition, or if your child's friend is in competition with them, they're on the same basketball team, now that can cause a lot of problems. Now, if it's not a sport and it's solely just attractiveness, and your child, your son or daughter, if they have, if they're just naturally attractive, or at least more attractive than their friend that's jealous of them, that's going to create another competition. And so think back when you were teenagers' parents. The competition in the race for who gets the girl, who gets the guy, who gets to be a starter on the team, this is a very heated competition. This is a competition that in sports can get physical. I'm not saying that your kids are going to fight, but it requires a physical contest to see who's good enough. Now, sometimes coaches favor someone for various reasons, but usually within reason, usually the best player gets the role. They win. And if you're the starter, if you're the best player, then you're going to get the accolades, you're going to get the attention, you're going to be on the spotlight. Same thing with, we're talking about attractability. Usually the best looking person in the friend group wins. And what I mean in the friend group wins, meaning they get their pick of the people that they would like to date. Now, it doesn't mean just because a kid is the best looking kid in the friend group that he gets to just, like, let's say it's a boy, he doesn't just get to go up any girl and says, hey, I think you're cute, you're my girlfriend now. And she's like, okay, that's not what I'm saying. But they're going to have more options in the dating category. Now, a lot of times what happens is a good friend will tell their best friend. Now, let's break this down. Imagine I'm talking about my client. Their parent comes to me. The parent says, hey, my child, who me, David, the therapist, is seeing, has a friend that's very jealous and it's causing problems in their relationship. They're starting rumors, this and that and the other. So they say, okay, how do I help my child? And I help them break it down and they give me details, information. And then I share things like I just shared, where about it's natural for teenagers, even back when we were in high school, that the better looking, the more athletic, the more musically gifted, talented person, they're going to get more attention. They get more attention, their dating opportunities are going to be larger, right? They're going to have a bigger dating pool. Again, not to say they get to date whoever they want, but they're going to have more options. If the friend in that situation is also in the same athletic group, is also in the same social group, then this friend is not going to have as much accolades, much attention. They're not going to get the notoriety, and their dating pool is going to be smaller. That, you guys, is a very tough pill to swallow. It's very difficult to tell a teenager that is competitive, that wants what they want. By the way, I don't know if you guys knew this, teenagers want what they want, and they want to avoid being uncomfortable. That's one of their wants. So if you're watching your friend get attention from a bunch of girls and you're not getting that same attention, or at least when your friend walks in the room, you now get less attention because the girls go to your buddy. That's tough. That's harsh. It's natural to compare yourself, like, man, look, why does he get all these girls? Like, why does he get all these people talking to him? Or even worse, this happens a lot in my counseling sessions. The guy who's usually the guy who is the better looking, the more athletic or more talented musically, whatever it may be, is going to end up choosing a girl, dating a girl, and liking a girl that the best friend also likes. So the best friend sometimes plays the buddy role. Hey, she's just my girl friend. And then the best friend starts to talk trash, starts to, oh yeah, you know, I saw him flirting with other girls, or like, I don't know, like, you know, I mean, I know you guys are together, but just be careful, because, you know, he can be pretty selfish. He can be manipulative, planting seeds of doubt, right? Just putting these seeds of doubt, trying to make their friend less attractive in any way, shape, or form they can. So what I just described to you guys is something that's been going on from the beginning of time, and it probably won't end anytime soon. But it's important for you as parents to know this information before you give suggestions and ideas. So I do not want any of you parents out there saying things like this. Just tell your friend to get over it. Tell your friend, say, quit being so jealous. Or I also don't want you to have your child go to your friend and say, hey, what do I have to do to make you feel better? You know, do I need to break up with my girlfriend because, you know, you feel like she's not good for me? Which, by the way, is one of the top reasons that a guy or girl will tell their good friend that they shouldn't date someone and that girl's not good for them. Usually it's because they're attracted to that person and they're trying to throw salt on the game. They're trying to stop that relationship. And you would think, why would a good friend do this? Well, I'll tell you, these are teenagers. These aren't lifelong friends that have dealt with a lot of trauma together and shared, you know, their deepest, darkest secrets. A lot of times their friendships are based upon association because they play a sport together. They grew up next door to each other, something that they had in common. And the relationships, are not saying they can't get really deep as a teenager, but they're not likely going to be as deep as a teenager because their life isn't as deep, right? They don't have as much complexities of their life. So getting back to when you have your child and you have your child, when you have your child engaging with this friend, you don't want to make your child like the doormat and try to do whatever the friend wants them to do to make them feel comfortable. But what you do want to do is you do want to suggest your child to have a very sincere one-on-one, heartfelt, homey talk with their friend. This has to be in person. It has to be something that they make the friend feel special. So for example, I did this with one of my clients. One of my clients, his buddy's favorite restaurant, like their favorite place to go eat and hang out, was Mobetta's. If you're not familiar with Mobetta's, I guess it's kind of a free advertisement for Mobetta's. They're a local Hawaiian barbecue restaurant. If you haven't had Hawaiian barbecue, you're missing out. But everyone here in Utah, California, the West Coast, you probably have had Hawaiian barbecue. So this one kid, he goes, all right, I know my buddy likes Mobetta's. I go, why don't you invite him to go to Mobetta's and go at a time where it's not super packed, go at a time where you get a table off in the corner and just tell your friend how you're feeling. So I help my client come up, and he took notes on his phone and kind of did a little outline so he wouldn't forget, because he wouldn't be meeting with his friend probably till later in the week. So what happened was we wrote down a couple basic things. He started off with telling his friend, hey man, like, you know, checking with his friend, like, how's his week, stuff like that. So they did some small talk. Some stuff like, oh, do you hear so-and-so is dating so-and-so, this, and that, and the other. Then I had my client just kind of in the middle of the conversation, like randomly, just say, hey man, to be totally honest with you, like, there's a reason why I invited you to lunch. And the other kid, by the way, I'm telling you what I told him, but I'm telling you what happened at the same time. So my client says he went and started the conversation out like that, told his friend, hey, there's actually a reason why I invited you out to lunch. He said instantly the friend was like eating and kind of stopped and looked at him with this like suspicious, like, well, what's going on? Like, very curious what's happening. So my client had a history over the past like year of the jealousy getting pretty bad. They'd never really dealt with it and talked about it. They've gotten fights, not like fist fights, but they started messing with each other. And, you know, like, my client was a much bigger kid and more athletic. So when they would get in these little wrestling matches like friends get into, to make it even worse, my client would always win. So he told his friend, he goes, I just want to apologize for when we've gotten physical. And, you know, I've been holding, you know, some frustration towards you. Well, he said, his friend looked at him like, what? Because obviously his friend was holding frustration towards him. So he looked at his friend. He goes, if you want to know what I'm referring to, I've been frustrated because I feel like when it was just me and you hanging out, having good times, we're playing basketball when we were younger, like it was just fun. But I noticed as soon as like girls got involved, as soon as like dating started happening, we're old enough to date, I started to notice our relationship wasn't really the same anymore. And this past year, it got really bad. I know that the girl I've been dating this past year is someone that all through middle school, you had a big crush on and you liked her. And I don't know what this is like, but I'm assuming to have your best friend start to date the girl that you've had a crush on for years. If I put myself in your shoes, that'd make me pretty upset and angry. So I want to talk to you because I want to apologize, because this whole entire time, I didn't realize I was doing something that if the roles were reversed, I'd be upset, angry, and frustrated with you. Now he said quickly, his friend stopped and goes, oh, no, dude, I'm not angry. I'm not frustrated. Like, it's no big deal. So luckily he took my advice. I wrote this in the note. If he responds like that, just look at him and say, hey, listen, okay, maybe you're not angry at me, but you can't be happy for the two of us. You would be happier if you and her were together. And if it was vice versa, I'd be happier if I was dating her. But if she was dating you, I'd be jealous and I'd be bummed. So what I told this kid to do is just admit that he would feel the same way that his friend felt. Now, what this did was he noticed that at that moment, the friend kind of backed down and wasn't as like trying to be as tough and macho and was kind of just curious about what he was saying. So he wrapped it up by saying, hey, I just want to tell you, you know, I can't, you know, undate her. I can't like, you know, break up with her because obviously I'm worried about, you know, it hurting my friend's feelings, but I can tell you that your friendship is more important to me than most things in my life. Outside of my parents, outside of my family, your friendship's important to me. So will you do me a favor from now on? His friend looked at him and said, what's that? He goes, instead of getting mad at me, or instead of getting frustrated with me, or telling people all these secrets about me and all these things that you don't like about me. And at that moment, he goes, well, what are you talking about? He goes, we're not going to get into it, but like, you know, I mean, come on. That's why we got in that scuffle a couple months ago. Like, I got mad at you because you're talking trash behind my back. Everybody told me about it, but I know now why you're talking trash behind my back. You're frustrated and angry with me, and I really am sorry. Like, if there's anything to do to make you feel better, I'll do it, but I can't change who I am. I can't change that, you know, I've been doing good at basketball. I can't change that I'm a starter and you're not. Like, if it was up to me, both of us would start and both of us would get the girl. So just do me a favor. If there's a girl that you like, if there's a girl that you're interested in, let me know and I will make sure to not put off any vibes, talk to her, flirt with her at all so that you can have your shine. You can have, you just take your shot with her. By the way, this had happened in the past where his friend complained to him, said, oh, you're always trying to steal every girl that I like. He didn't realize he was doing it, but there was kind of some truth to it, right? Because they're both teenage boys and they both want attention. So they just kind of made this pact that if they had an issue with each other, if he's feeling a certain way towards him, that he would just tell him. And if there's something he could do, he'd do it. But if not, it just helped the friend just to vent it and they could squash it so it doesn't affect their relationship. Well, needless to say, at the end of the conversation, they ended everything very well. It worked so well. In fact, after that point, my client went to him every now and said, hey, just want to check, make sure that we're all good because you're my boy. Like, I got your back. And after games that he had, really big, huge games, and he did great, you know, all their friends would be hanging out. He'd go, yeah, but, you know, let's say his name is Corbin. He goes, yeah, but do you see that steal Corbin had? Everybody's like, oh, yeah, that steal was dope. So what he started doing, he started giving compliments to his friends in front of their friend group. If there was a girl that his friend liked, he'd go up to the girl and he'd go, hey, listen, I just want to let you know, like you'd be so happy if you went on a dance with Corbin. Like, Corbin's such a stud. So he went out of his way to talk his friend up and try to give his friend the same platform that he had in his own kind of way. Well, like I said, that worked so well that in our counseling sessions, he reported a couple times about how it was going. But after that, we never dealt with it again. It takes one person being vulnerable to even be available to connect with another person. If you can make yourself vulnerable to your friend, apologize and let them know that you're sorry if you hurt their feelings, that you're gonna pay more close attention because you don't want anything to come between your friendship. That in and of itself, even if your friend completely denies that there's an issue with it because their ego won't let them admit to it, that in and of itself will leave an impact on your friend. Your friend will feel appreciated. Your friend will have less resentment, less anger and frustration. They're less likely going to go and talk behind your back, say bad things about you, try to break you and your girlfriend up. So parents out there, I know that was a lot of nuance to it. And I know there's a lot of details, that one. But just to make it short and simple, give your kids this podcast information in the best way you can. If they'll listen to it, have them listen to it. If not, just tell them, hey, you need to have, you know, a one-on-one conversation with your friend. Apologize to your friend for not realizing that, you know, if the shoe were on the other foot, you'd be irritated, frustrated. Maybe stay away from using words like jealousy. Even envy is a word that's commonly used with teenagers. Teenagers use jealousy all the time. So stay away from words that's going to affect the friend's ego or basically hurt their ego or make them feel like they're less than or they're not attractive or they're not talented. You know, say more things like, hey, you know, if I were you, I'd be envious too. If I were you, I wouldn't be happy. You know, I'd prefer that she liked me instead of liked you if the role was reversed. Use those types of words and tell your child to like realize that you guys have history together and bring it up. Tell their friend, like, dude, you've been my friend for so long. Like, it'd kill me if anything ever happened to us. Like, if we like broke up our band and we weren't close anymore. So that's my suggestion for today, you guys. Remember, you can always follow us on OG Therapy and follow us on Patreon for $5 a month. It's www.patreon.com/OG Therapy. You get over 2.5 years of extra bonus content and videos that we have not talked about on a normal podcast platform. You can follow us on OG.therapy on Instagram. You can follow me at David_KOZLOWSKI on Instagram. You can share these messages and these podcast episodes with any of your friends that got questions for teens or questions how to deal with their teens and their kids. And until next time, just remember, guys, when all the frustrations of your children, your work, your job, your business, the holidays got you down on your knees saying, please, 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 just remember all you got to do is press play and listen to your OGs. Until next time, be cool.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.